Our text for this, the third Sunday in Advent, is taken from the Gospel of St. John, the first chapter, and we will read verses 1 through 28 in that first chapter. It's the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 28. So we greet you with greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Esaias. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God and Father, teach us to be witnesses like John, and grant us your grace. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Usually on this Sunday, this third Sunday in Advent, we honor John the Baptizer for great reason. John came as a witness. He came as the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He came to announce the coming of the kingdom. And we know of the life of John the Baptizer. He was born from very unique circumstances, indicating the coming of the new covenant. Just as the old covenant was framed through Abraham and Sarah, who could not bear a child and bore a child in their old age to indicate the coming of the promise, so John the Baptizer's parents could not have children. And in their old age, John the Baptizer was brought forth, and he came as the forerunner to indicate that now a new covenant was on the horizon, that now John, coming out of the lineage of the promise, was now declaring the one who would bring the promise to its fulfillment. And for that reason, John is a very unique figure in the scripture. And he has a very powerful message. And you understand that he kind of came, he was a little weird. You know, John was a little weird. He showed up, he was dressed in camel's hair, he looked like a rough and tumble sort of guy, he probably had hair that looked even worse than mine. You know, he was out, he was doing these sort of things, he came out and did these sort of things, and people thought he was a little strange, you know, that John is out there doing this sort of thing. And that's the whole deal. When John came, people always think it's strange. When God shows up, people always think it's strange. When God talks to them, people think it's strange because we're nuts. We're strange. It's not everybody else. It's us. We're conceived in sin. And it's easy for us to forget that. We don't think right. We don't understand properly. We live very often according to our own understanding of things, and that understanding of things becomes sacrosanct. We don't want anybody to tell us anything. We don't trust anybody to tell us anything because we're so good at what we do. Honest to goodness, there isn't a thing on the face of this earth we couldn't mess up. When John came to indicate the coming of a new kingdom, that God was now establishing a new covenant. He brought us to repentance, that in reality, the God who was the Lord of all of the universe was going to do something so strange that people still today tell you that that's nuts. It's crazy. God couldn't have become flesh. How could that ever happen? And there's people in this world that write books, and other people buy them, about how they explain away the fact that God could become incarnate, because we're nuts. The reality of things is that what is strange, what we don't understand as being correct, is very often the very right thing. The gospel comes to us with strangeness. The gospel is a foreign type of entity. How can it be that God sends his son and sends this man, this John, this weird guy that hangs out in the desert and eats locusts and wild honey? Why are we supposed to listen to him? Why would we pay any attention to him? He's just a nutcase. Except he's not. He's not. He's the prophet of the Most High God. And as we read out of Luke, Jesus says, "What did you go to see? What did you people go to see?" He says, "Did you see? Did you go to see this like great guy? Did you go to see like a football player?" You see, that's what he's saying. He's saying, "Did you go to see like a football player? Because that's who we really worship, is football players and athletes. And when they talk, we pay attention. We listen to people from Hollywood. We listen to people on TV. We listen to preachers that are celebrities. We have this sickness within us. We're sick." Because the reality of things is that we don't want to deal with the reality. It's in the strangest ways of all things. God chose to manifest himself in this world. Jesus says, "You don't understand. Of all of the prophets born of women, there's never been a greater one than John the Baptizer." And we don't get that. We don't understand how offensive this was to the Jewish people, because they loved Moses and they loved all these other prophets. They thought these people were the greatest people ever. And now you're turning around and telling us that this goofy guy that came out of the desert, that he's the greatest prophet that we've ever gotten? Yeah. It's exactly what Jesus says. He's the greatest one ever. He's the only one. He's really the only one. He's my contemporary. And he knows who I am. Moses could only look forward to it. Abraham, all of your fathers, they could only look forward to this. John is the last, and he is the greatest. And he's telling you the truth. Because I'm actually your Messiah, is what he's saying. I am actually your Messiah, and I am the coming of your kingdom. You see, the beauty of the opening of John's gospel is this is what John says. St. John the Evangelist says this so that we would understand it. This is the cosmic reality of this. The God who created everything in the universe has entered into flesh. He's now present with you. He has a declaration for you. The declaration is that the kingdom has come, that now the repentance that was foretold, that now it's a given, that now you have been restored to life. Now your God is present with you. That's nuts, isn't it? That's just absolutely crazy. And we should really try to figure out what's really important to us. God have mercy on our souls. The reality of things is that the greatest event that could ever possibly happen has occurred for us. It has already happened. It has come. And it has borne fruit. The kingdom is amongst us. And honestly, within our nation, within our world, we don't give it a second thought. You see, we need a John the Baptizer. We need a goofy guy to come out of the wilderness and start to talk to us. We need a goofy guy to come out and start to declare to us, you're really messed up. We need somebody to come out and start to tell us, yeah, you're missing the whole thing. You're so consumed with yourselves and with your own existence, you're missing what's really the vastly most important thing on the face of this earth, because God has become incarnate. God has entered the human race. God has entered the human race to bring salvation to humankind, and he's turning the hearts of all people to himself. And we're more worried about what the governor of New York says. We're more concerned about that. We spend more of our time getting mad about that. Because we're crazy. Because we've lost our sense of direction. John came to restore the sense of direction to the people to understand this is what your God is really like. This is what your God is really like. He has come seeking you because he's so full of grace. He's so full of mercy. He is so full of love. He has come seeking you to restore you, to put you on the path of righteousness. He's come to show you himself as he truly is, so that understanding this pathway that now you would follow, and that's the greatest gift that there is to John, because John comes out right away. He says, no, I'm not the Christ. He could have got in on that, you know. He could have said, oh, yeah. He says, you should follow me. John says, I'm not even worthy to touch his sandals. I'm not even worthy to touch his feet. John says, I came. I'm here. I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. That's all. But I'm telling you that this now is the way of the Lord. That it's time for you to turn your hearts to your God. Because your God has turned his heart toward you. That now you are to live your life in this way of understanding. And this is a new way of life. And that's what baptism symbolizes. The baptism of John was to symbolize the coming of this new life. The coming of this new realization of things. That now God had sanctified the human race. That he had given us the Holy Spirit so that now this is the way that we would live. You see, this is what John was all about. And John didn't mind being ignored. John didn't mind fading into the background because he recognized this one who came was the Messiah. He's the Messiah. The salvation of the world has come. The salvation of the world has come. He is here with us. You may wonder why I place such emphasis upon that. When we come into this church and you see me turn toward that altar, you may think that that's empty. That's just an empty thing. Why do we do that? Why we make that sign of the cross? Why we make that to be such an event? Because God is present here. We invoked his presence. We asked him to be present. And in our goofy understanding of things, we think all that stuff is just empty ceremony. God is here. God is a present reality. He is here with us. He is present in this place. And he is present in every aspect of our lives. God makes his presence known, not in some empty way, not floating out in the ether someplace. God makes his presence known here for us, in us, so that we would understand and we would know the power of that presence and that we would live in the power of that presence. That today isn't just another day. As a matter of fact, no day is just another day. That every day is a day of the grace of God by which we live renewed in that grace. By which we face whatever circumstance we deal with, and no matter how they change, we face every circumstance we deal with in that grace. That's not crazy. That's the truth. That's the truth. And that's why John writes, John the Evangelist writes, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld, in other words, we saw, we looked upon. We missed the point of these words. We looked upon it. He says, it was right in front of us. He says, we actually looked upon it. We looked upon it. We looked upon the very glory of God. The glory that belongs to God's one and only Son. Full of grace and truth. He says, Moses could only bring us the law. He says, when Jesus came, he brought us grace. And he brought us truth. He brought us the reality of God. No man has ever seen God at any time. He says, God's uniquely born Son, who's in the bosom of the Father. He says he was always, constantly with the Father. He has made him known. And then John the Evangelist says, and this is the record of John. He says, this is what John the Baptizer came to show us. The Lamb of God. The entrance of God into the world. It's the most stunning thing that has ever happened. And there won't be another thing ever on the face of this earth that's even quite as stunning until he comes again. And that's why Advent is so important, and we need to wake up. We need to understand the nature of Advent. We need to get with the program and realize what's going on, because God is coming to the earth again. And he has given that announcement to us as a warning, but not a warning for ill. It's a warning to remind us that we need to be aware, that we need to constantly be aware of the coming of the kingdom of God, of the presence of the kingdom of God, that we live constantly within this understanding, that we're not framed by elections, that we're not framed by what happens on a football field, that we aren't framed by what takes place in the events that regard our life. But rather, we are framed in the kingdom of God. We are known by the power of God. We are known and given a name that is above every name because we are joined together with Jesus Christ and we live together with Jesus Christ in this world. And the world needs to hear us. And the world needs to see us. And the world needs to know what we know. Because the world is crazy. And it doesn't do us any good to sit in our living rooms and observe it and curse it. People need to know. They need to understand. They need to know what we know. And we need to live as though we know what we know. We need to bear witness to the kingdom because we are baptized, because we are joined together with the Son of God in his death, and we are raised to newness of life. We have something that John, and that's why Jesus says he's the greatest prophet ever. But I'm telling you, he's the least in the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us is greater than John the Baptizer. Because what John could only hope for, and you understand, that's what happens later. John says, are you the one we should wait for, or should it be somebody else? You know, should we look for somebody else? Because even John couldn't fully understand. Even John, with all the blessing and revelation he had been given, could not fully understand it. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet been given in its fullness, even for John. But for each and every one of us, the Holy Spirit has been given in fullness. We dwell with a knowledge John could have only hoped for. You as an individual, you are the dwelling place of the living God. You are where Emmanuel, you are the place where God dwells. That now that we understand in this life, that walking through this life, we don't buy into the lies of this life that make us insignificant, that make it somehow more important that some guy can shoot a basketball, that he's more valuable than us. No, that's nuts. Because the value of a human being is not in their talent or their ability. The value of the human being is in their God, who draws them to repentance, who brings them to this wonderful place and says to you, yeah, you can't play basketball with LeBron James, but let me tell you, in the kingdom of heaven, that don't amount to diddly squat. You are the greatest thing on the face of this earth because the dwelling place of the Most High God is within you and I. We are living in an age that is a new time. A new revelation has taken place. John could only look forward to it. We live in it. And if you sense an urgency in my voice, please believe me, it's there. Because we're entering into a time of darkness. In which we are being horribly misinformed. And we are being incredibly misled by people that we trust. I'm not just talking about other people out in the world. I'm talking about people that we trust. Because they too have been horribly misled. The reality of things is that the only person worthy of trust is Jesus the Christ. that he has entered into flesh to lead us on the pathway of righteousness, to show us the truth, to liberate us from ourselves. Because like Pogo wrote, we have met the enemy and he is us. That we constantly need to be drawn to the kingdom of God. We constantly need to be summoned to the throne of God. We need to come to this place for grace, because it's grace that matters. It's grace that speaks truth. And people say, I've had people tell me this to my face, you shouldn't preach so much grace. My gosh, I don't even know what else to say. I'm not looking for revenge upon my enemies. I'm not looking for revenge on the people who disagree with me. For crying out loud, if they get revenge, what revenge am I going to get? If there's not grace for them, then there certainly isn't any grace for me. The reality of things is that John the Baptist may have looked like he was crazy, but he was right. He was right. And it may sound crazy to preach that much grace in the world, but the one thing that's true is that it's right. It's right. When we look upon God, what we are going to look upon is the purest of grace. And that's what John was writing in this gospel, to understand the God, the cosmic reality through whom everything was created, entered into human flesh to show us the grace of God. He entered into flesh, and he lives with us, and he's full of grace. And he's full of, and this Greek word actually means reality. He's full of reality. He shows us what's really real. And this is what we need. We don't need any more schlock. We don't need to be entertained to death anymore. We need to be engaged with our God. We need to be brought back to the central place of our existence. And this is the greatest opportunity maybe that we've ever had to do it. People look and say, well, how can you find anything beneficial out of a pandemic? Because maybe it's during a pandemic we can be brought to our right mind again. Maybe we can understand that there's a lot of circumstances we have absolutely no control over. And as a matter of fact, there's little or nothing that we can do about them. But this one thing we can do, we can draw close to our God. We can come to our God. We can ask our God for help. We can acknowledge our God. We can live in our God. We can pray. We can spend our time in things that are valuable. In understanding our existence. And maybe even we could pick up the Bible. And I don't mean reading through the Bible in 1 year. You know, the Bible isn't an exercise for sitting down and figuring out I'm going to earn merit by reading through the Bible every night. You know, I don't know how you do it. I've never exhausted a Bible passage in all of my life, and I've been studying for I don't know how long in all sorts of different languages and trying to figure them out. I've never exhausted one for as long as I live. I think you could read the same one every night, and you won't get merit badges from it or anything like that, but it will benefit you very, very greatly, because the reality of things is that that word, like we talk about, that word has a tremendous benefit, and that word is near us because that word is indwelling us. And when we pick up that word and we read it, that word does marvelous, marvelous, great things for us. It quickens us within our spirit. It announces to us that God is in the flesh, that God is living amongst us. See, John the Baptizer couldn't see that. He could only get so far. But John the Evangelist could see it. Because this is the reality in which we dwell. Every day is a day closer to the coming of the Lord. And that sounds trite, but that's the reality of things. Every day is a day of expectation in which we wait for the fulfillment of that promise. John's warning isn't a distant warning, it's a real warning that has to be spoken in every generation, that really has to be spoken every day, that we come to this point of acknowledging and knowing the presence of our God, that we not only acknowledge it, that we embrace it and that we live within it. Because the darkness is upon us. It's not COVID virus. It's a deeper sickness. And no one is free from it. It's the sin of our fallen parents. And the only thing that liberates us from that understanding, there isn't a vaccine for it. The only thing that liberates us from it is the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of that gospel, and the grace of God that makes us new. And that's what we need to understand. You see, the world is lying to us. It's lying to us all the time. It's lying to us, lying over and over and over again, because it can't do anything else, because it doesn't know the truth. That's what the scripture says. It has to lie. That's the only thing it can do. But the truth is in Jesus Christ, and the truth comes to you and I, and the truth says that we were worth it. We were worth the suffering and death of his son. We were worth it. You know, I don't know if you've ever watched Saving Private Ryan, but you watch that last scene at the end, you know, when the guy's there and he's at the grave and he's talking about that lieutenant that was killed, you know, trying to protect him and stuff like that. And he said the last words to him were, make it worth it, you know, make it worth it, make it worth it. And the guy's sitting there crying. He says, this is my family, you know, this is what I've done. He says, I made it worth it, you know, I made it worth it. Jesus says, we're worth it. We are worth it. Don't let the world lie to you. You are worth it. You are worth his suffering, his death. You are worth his resurrection. You are worth all of this. Jesus summons you. Come to your God day by day. Don't believe the lie. Don't listen to the lie. Don't listen to this world. Hear your God, because your God brings you to the center of all reality. Your God brings you to this place and makes you ready for the day of the appearing of his Son. Because on that day, he will come for you. A glorious vessel prepared as the bride of Jesus Christ, and he will bring you home, because that is his promise. And let me tell you, in the grand scheme of things, there isn't another thing that comes close to comparing to that. When John came announcing this great message, content to be second fiddle. That is a great place to be found in. To understand very clearly that it was not about him. That it was not about his life or the way of doing things. That everything was all about Jesus. And that in the end of all things, that it would be Jesus. Everything would be all about Jesus. That he himself would be saved by Jesus. For the Lamb of God has come. This is a weird season this year. Never dealt with one like this. You know, to look at Advent and look at Christmas like this. But you understand, it didn't change anything. Not a thing has changed. God has done his work. He has completed our redemption. And whether we're wearing masks or not, you know, whether we stay 6 feet apart or not, no matter what we do, no matter where we go, no matter who we see, we belong to Jesus Christ. And the love of God that is in Christ Jesus dwells within us. The grace of God is our grace. It's our testimony. And by the Spirit of God who indwells us, we see the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. We are the most blessed people that have ever walked the face of the earth. And that's why Jesus says, the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than John. We have received a blessing beyond even counting or estimating its value. And we have a hope that transcends everything. The world is going to keep lying to us. And we're foolish if we place our trust in its lies. The truth is in the gospel. And oh yes, the gospel is in you. Jesus the Christ is in you. His salvation is in you. And that's why the scripture says, you lift up your head. You lift up your head, for your redemption is near. Your redemption is near. May God give us the grace in this season, and maybe that's why we have this season, is to start us off in the right way, but to understand very clearly, this is God's work in the world, and it's still ongoing, and it's still beautiful, and it is still powerful. Jesus Christ still reigns in this world, and he reigns amongst us. And Jesus Christ is with us, and he will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter how crazy we get, God will still bring us to the knowledge of the truth. He will still point us to that reality, and we will find out we're not crazy. Not crazy. We're blessed. We're blessed. And the glory of God will light our path until that day when, in the strangest of all things, we will see our God face to face. And then we will know, even as we are known, and we will live forever. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, thank you. Your mercy endures forever. And you do things in the strangest of ways. But it's only because of us, because we don't understand your ways, and your ways are much greater than ours. Father, we need direction, and we need hope, and that direction and hope cannot come from this world. It's only your word. It's only the power of your gospel. It's only your grace. Your grace that can bring us into truth and direct us in the right way. Father, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, Father. Have mercy upon our world. Have mercy upon our nation. Have mercy upon us. And grant us anew that marvelous beatific vision, that we might see the risen Christ, the Lamb of God, and know the power of his resurrection, and live that way in this world. Simply abide in that truth and find rest. Grant this, Father, to all of your people. And give us your peace. For Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of this Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.